Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Tessa Arlen, author of the new novel, Address of Violet Taffeta. Author Anna Lee Huber wrote about the novel, a sumptuous treat of elegant prose, evocative descriptions, and compelling emotions. Arlen's writing absolutely shines in Address of Violet Taffeta. Tessa, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Jeff. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, if someone listening hasn't yet heard about your new novel, Address of Violet Taffeta, how would you describe the novel?
It's a historical novel and historical fiction, and it is set between the years of 1893 and 1913 in England and also America. And it's the real life story of a fashion designer who created her own label, Lucille, and her name was Lucy Duff Gordon. And it's about her struggle to in a world that was very much dominated by men fashion designers, and her rise and struggles to achieve her ambition.
And I'm curious, do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to write Address of Violet Taffeta?
Well, yes, I do. And it was quite a while ago because I was doing research for an Awardian mystery series I was doing. And I came across her, you know, her name often. And it wasn't always very approving. She was she was a divorcee, which was a huge issue back then, especially in England. So that was a dark mark. And she was also considered to be rather ruthless and ambitious and a social climber. So I sort of registered who she was. I think I might have name dropped her in a couple of books, like I'm Going for a Fitting at Lucille. And then I was in London, and it was awful February, and I popped into the Victoria and Albert, the V&A, for, you know, to spend an hour, and they had an exhibition of her clothes, and it was exquisite. I couldn't believe how remarkably beautiful her clothes were. They were works of art, and I thought they were witty. There was a playfulness to some of them. And I thought, this woman's extraordinary. And I started, you know, looking into her a little more deeply, and decided I wanted to write about her because she was rather remarkable in what she achieved.
And what kind of research did you do about Lucy Duff Gordon as you were working on the novel?
Well, the V&A did publish, not then, but maybe a couple of years before I started to really seriously consider writing about it, they published a sort of coffee table book, you know, this typical museum stuff you get in their shops. But they came from her journals, her design journals that her grandson, the Earl of Harfield, had donated to the museum. And I sent off for it, and it was wonderful. It gave me a full chronology of her career and her achievements, and also some wonderful descriptions and photographs of how her clothes were made, because their clothes were very complex then. They were, you know, they went over layers of corsetry and heavy Swiss cotton pantalets and petticoats. But she kind of evolved away from that, you know, S-bend look of the turn of the century into beautiful flowing lines. And she had a tremendous gift, an eye for color combination. And in her journal, which they'd reproduced, were photographs of the scraps of material, lace and trimmings stapled or pinned to the edges of each design. And it was the skill and the workmanship, the craft that went into them, were astonishing. And then I read her memoir, which she wrote at the towards the end of her life and when she was no longer a top designer, when her time had come and gone. It's rather wistful and poignant in some ways, but she had no problem at all in claiming firsts. She had no problem in saying she was the first woman to do a runway fashion show, and she was the first woman to prize her clients out of their whalebone corsetry into lingerie. And she was very much a grand dame. And I loved reading her book. It was funny. She was remembering her days as an haute couture in London, New York, and Paris. And that was it. I was off.
So I wonder if we could go back. What was your initial writing journey that led you to write and get your first novel published?
Oh, you're never going to believe how odd it was. No, you've heard lots of stories, I know.
I have.
Well, my children had, the last of our daughters had left home to go to college. And I love to garden. And I just got through my gardening season, and we lived in the Pacific Northwest, and it was October, and the rain was hammering. So I thought, what am I going to do? And I didn't want to go work in a shop, and I didn't want to go work in an office. So I thought, well, why don't I see if I can actually write a novel? So I did. and I had huge fun. I wake up every morning. I couldn't wait to start. And my husband said to me, you know, you should find an agent. And I was horrified. I had no thought of doing that. But he kept pushing. So I started, you know, searching. And that was actually the big hurdle I had to come across. And I kept a sort of log of who I contacted and what I'd sent them. And nobody replied. And then suddenly they started to. And I went with my present agent, who I... we're 8 books now together. She was very, very clear about my many faults in writing. And we put those right. And she sold the book to St. Martin's Press in 5 weeks. And I was astonished. I mean, luckily I didn't really know what I was getting into. So we're still together, and here we are. I went from historical mystery to historical fiction.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And I'm curious, what is your writing process when you're working on a novel? Are you someone who outlines the novel extensively before you begin writing, or do you just dive into the narrative? How does that work for you?
Well, I'm not allowed to dive into the narrative anymore because I have to send a proposal to my publisher, or Kevin does, and I'm published at the moment by Berkeley. And they, you know, they go 2-book deals, 3-book deals. So basically, they do want to know. They're not just going to allow me to throw anything at them. And so my writing has changed because the first book I wrote, I just wrote it, you know, and then did masses of editing. And that was me learning how to do it. So I outline. I sort of write a 8 to 10 page outline. I tell the story, you know. And then often it changes. You know, the character, as you get into your character, as your character starts becoming the person you live with, your protagonist is the woman you live with every day now, and she pretty much tells you how things are going to go in this scene. And it's kind of like a conduit. Yeah.
Ah, there you go.
So basically, yeah. I have to outline, and it's good. It's a good discipline. And then it can change. Things do change.
That's great. Well, are you working on another novel now?
I am, but we're in the middle of that negotiating phase. So I'm not going to tell you more about it other than it's written between 1933 and 1938. And it's about an English writer who it takes place in England and Egypt. And it's about an English writer who I know you recognize her name if I said it, but I don't think I should right now.
Sure.
And
sure.
I'm really into that. This woman because she was very complex. And I write about strong women who break the rules and make their own way.
That's great. Well, what writing advice would you offer for those who are working on their own stories or novels?
I think you should always write the book you would want to read. And you should definitely not pay attention to the New York Times or USA Today bestseller list, because by the time you have written your book and it's been sold and finally you go into production, that's 18 months to 2 years sometimes. And trends and fashion in reading will have changed. So write the book that you want to read. Write the book that you feel is in you, rather than target the end, result. That's my advice. And just write it. Don't ask yourself too many questions about whether you like what you're reading, because that's what your editing process is for.
Well, what books have you read recently that you enjoyed?
I have just finished reading Kerry Maher's fabulous historical fiction about Sylvia Beach and her American bookshop in Paris, Shakespeare and Company. And it's called The Bookseller of Paris. And it's a fabulously written account of Sylvia's dream to open a bookshop, to stay in Paris. She's an American. She doesn't want to live in America. There were, in the 20s, there were all those incredible restrictions with prohibition, and there was a huge morality thing going on. So she was happy, very happy in Paris. She fell in love in Paris, and she wanted to do something exciting to her. So she does, and she also becomes the publisher for James Joyce's Ulysses, which was a really controversial book when it came out. There's all the writers of the time there that she puts in, which is fun. And Gertrude Stein, who's kind of a grand dame of Paris, American writers. And it's beautifully written, and I loved it. I read Erica Roebuck's World War II historical fiction, Sisters of Night and Fog, which was fabulous, about Violet Szabo, who was a part of the SOE, the resistance, the British. Winston Churchill put together the SOE so we could send agents into France for intelligence. And I can never remember the name of the other spy that was involved. But anyway, their story, that was fascinating and kind of grim. What else have I read? Oh, Marie Benedict, who I like. She wrote a book called Lady Clementine. And I was thinking of writing about Clementine. I've decided I'm not going to, because she did it so well. That's about it. I'm looking forward to Alka Joshi's third book in her trilogy. She wrote The Henna Artist and The Secret Keeper. And I think this next book of hers is called The Perfumist of Paris. Anyway, I'm looking forward to reading that because I love the other two books she wrote.
That's great.
I think I'm going to stop there because you know what? I'm so bad at remembering names. I don't want to muff it. So, yeah.
That's fine. Well, where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you and your latest novel, Address of Violet Taffeta?
You can find me on Facebook, Tessa Arlen, author, and Instagram. And I think I'm tessa.arlen there. And I have a website, tessaarlen.com.
That's great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Tessa Arlen, author of the new novel, Address of Violet Taffeta. The novel is available now, so go buy a copy. And Tessa, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you.
Great.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.